Okay, well, thank you, Pastor Andrew, so much for sharing that. Isn't it wonderful to think about the E-Free Church getting a lead pastor? I know in Terrace we're always wanting to work together. It's just so refreshing when we're all healthy, we've all under good leadership, and all the churches are growing and thriving. And we got close to 18,000 people around here. These churches should be full. We got lots of room in every church, so we're excited. Thank you for praying for that. And I want you to continue, as Pastor Andrew said, to pray for them. Let's believe that God's got great things in store for them in the very, very near future. This past week, we got together actually as a ministerial, so other churches in Terrace. And obviously, unfortunately, there was nobody as a representation from the E-Free Church. But as we just were sharing, as I was leading the meeting here at the church, I asked each person, I said, how has God been faithful to you over the years? And I was just really encouraged and wanting to hear and to learn from the other pastors in town, get to know them. So as they shared their stories, it was a good reminder of God has been so faithful. And when I look into the Gospels and I look into the book of 1 Corinthians, there's two aspects here I want to look at real quick, is that Paul wrote this letter or this book in the Bible because the church was starting and there were some things that needed to be addressed or corrected, we see in chapters 1 through 6. But then we see in chapters 7 to 16, the people of the day, they actually had questions about things like marriage, about should we eat meat that was sacrificed to idols? What do we do during worship? What does that look like? Even obviously, as we remember, every month we go through the communion, the supper. We see that there's a answering of that question. You know, what about spiritual gifts and the resurrection? So the people of the day had questions about how to live and what to do. And Paul does a majestic job on teaching them about that. So we'll just pick up one of the stories here. This is in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. In verse 1 and 4, it says, "For I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers, that our forefathers were all under the cloud, that they all passed through the sea, and they were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And they all ate the same spiritual food and drank from the same spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ." So here Paul is teaching the people with a response to one of their questions out of the Old Testament. So he's referring to what happened into the book of Exodus. And sometimes these are some basic Sunday school stories, but there is so much depth to them. I want to look at it in a bit of a different light that will hopefully be encouraging to you today. So three things come out of that piece of scripture in 1 Corinthians is that there's this cloud. We see that there's spiritual food and a spiritual drink, and then there's a spiritual rock. Well, what are those things? So we're going to go find them in the book of Exodus. And in Exodus chapter 13, we see the cloud here. We see it in two different ways. The first one is in chapter 13, verse 21. It says, "By day the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so that they could travel by day or by night." We see this cloud. It goes on to say in chapter 14, verses 19 and 20, it says, "Then the angel of God, who had been traveling in front of Israel's army, withdrew and went behind them. The pillar of cloud also moved from in front and stood behind them, coming between the armies of Egypt and of Israel. Throughout the night, the cloud brought darkness to the one side, and it brought light to the other side. So neither went near the other all night long." I kind of envision it like this. If you think of God's people, we're on the side, obviously, where there's light. Well, that's what we pray for, that we're on the good side. We're on the side where there's light so that we can travel, so that we can see clearly. Even in darkness, we can still see. Even if it's nighttime and it seems a bit, you know, evil when we think about Halloween, that God is still there and he's still at move. His light never goes out. And for his enemies, there's the other side of the cloud. There's the dark side. There's a side that's confusing, and there's no, they can't advance because it's dark. So we could see that imagery. We could also see that the cloud was there as they traveled. We would read here in Psalm 105, verse 39, "He spread out a cloud as a covering and a fire to give them light at night." To cover over them as well. If you think when you're traveling in the hot part of the world, You know, sometimes you want like an umbrella or some kind of a covering. Like you get to a tree, you want to hide under the tree in the hottest part of the day. But the cloud was also there to cover them so that during the day, if they decided to travel during a hot, extremely hot part of the day, the cloud would cover over them and be a protection. It was almost be like, you know, their sunscreen, their UV protection. So I just love that God is in a way just bringing such covering. We've talked about that in so many sermon illustrations the last month or so, is that God is just wanting to cover over us. He's wanting to protect us. And there's so many imagery, so many examples, so many types and shadows that we find in the Old Testament of God, of Jesus in this way, wanting to protect us, wanting to cover over us. So there's a bit of the cloud for you. Let's look at the second thing, some food. Now, we don't have time to read through the whole chapter of Exodus chapter 16, but we see things that God brought them as food. And sometimes, I don't know, when you read the story, you think, well, manna, you know, they got tired of manna because it was just day after day the same kind of food. But let's be realistic, man. Something that came down from heaven was taking care of them. You know, in the same respect, when we think about Jesus Christ came down from heaven and took care of us, the bread of life. We would see also that, you know, obviously they're grumbling, they're getting tired of this manna, even though it was like amazing. Food comes, you know, gets prepared for you every morning. It's just there every day, like, wow, thank you, God. And so they get a little bit grumbly and tired, so they ask for something different. Well, God, give us some meat here. You know, we're from the north. We love our meat. You know, we're just sick and tired of this old bread, you know, so give us something like that. And so God brings some quail to them. And as we read that story that it was the wind, it says there was an eastern wind that brought this quail to them. I mean, it was just so thick, there were so many quail. It was like you went out hunting one day and you just were shooting everywhere. There was just so many grouse or whatever were around. And there's so much meat there, but it was brought to them by wind. And we look at an example of that in the Old Testament, or a type and a shadow of that wind, as Pastor Andrew spoke not too long ago about. It's the wind of Christ. It's the wind of the Holy Spirit bringing you everything that you need. We see God providing us from heaven every spiritual food to take care of us, and that the wind of the Holy Spirit brings everything that we need every single day. Isn't that just wonderful to think about? The third aspect here we're going to look at is the water. So in Exodus chapter 17, we've just been walking through 14, 15, 16, now we're into 17. Exodus chapter 17, verse 5 and 6, it says, "The Lord answered Moses, 'Walk on ahead of the people, take with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff that which you struck the Nile, and go. I will stand before you by the rock of Horeb. Strike the rock, and you will come, and what will come out of it for the people to drink.' So Moses did this in the sight of the elders and of Israel." The people were wandering around. Again, it's the desert. I guess, you know, there's not just like a faucet out there. It's not just a drinking, you know, fountain in the middle of the desert. So they're asking for water, and God provides water through this rock. And we know that, again, as an example, as a type and a shadow in the Old Testament, that's Jesus Christ, the rock of Christ, the rock of Jesus. And God provides for them. He provides a spiritual drink for them. I love the imagery of the church in the same way, that as we give ourselves to God, we present ourselves to God, and God moves in such a way like this, where it's, the water's not just for us. I mean, there's just it was just rushing water. It wasn't just like a little sprinkle, like, well, we can barely have enough drink for ourselves. Like, there's enough for everyone. And when the church is here in Terrace and all these churches in Terrace, there's enough and it should be flowing out. Kind of like when we get so much rainfall this year, we would notice that the Skeena River rises. And sometimes it rises so high that it goes in. It messes with our camp sometimes. It kind of starts trying to flood our dining hall. It messes sometimes with the south side because there's just so much water. Like, the presence of God is like that. It just takes over and it goes and it spreads out wherever God wants to go. So I'm thankful to hear stories like that. And so when we see people asking in the New Testament, the early church, like, they have questions about God. God, what are you doing? God, we don't understand. And let's be honest, I think we're in a similar boat sometimes when we face the world, we face reality, we face restrictions, we say, this doesn't make any sense. I don't understand what's happening. I may be even in a bit of confusion. We see that God is so faithful. You and I have wonderful stories. As again, I asked the ministerial, they had wonderful stories of God, how God had provided for them. But then there's things that we face sometimes in life and we're like, that doesn't make sense. I need an answer to that, God. And Moses here is going to do the same thing. We're just going to flip over a couple chapters here. We'll go to Exodus 33. And here Moses, he's obviously seen, as we've just shared, we've talked about the way God's provided for them through the cloud, the way that God provided for them food. We see God's provided through them with the water. And Moses is saying, God, but I have some questions still, and I need some answers here. So let's see what he asks them in chapter 33, verses 12 and 13. It says, Moses said to the Lord, you have been telling me, lead these people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, I know you by name, and you have found favor with me. If you are pleased with me, teach me your way so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people. God, these are your people you're asking me to lead. And then it skips down to verse 21. Then the Lord said, there is a place near me where you can stand on a rock, where my glory, when my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft of the rock and cover you with my hand until I've passed by. Then I will remove my hand and you will see my back, but you must not see my face. See, Moses was saying, God, give me a sign, give me some direction. God, I want to see you. I want to get close to you. And God says, well, I'm going to put you in this rock over here. And if we look at it historically, that rock is the same rock that we just referred to where the water came out. God says, I'm going to cover you. I'm going to hide you in the cleft of this rock. And who is that rock? That's not just some random rock out there. That's the rock. That's the rock of Christ. Again, we think back to Jesus Christ. God's going to cover over us as we see the presence of God Almighty walk by. And we think about that as well. God is saying, I want to show you my ways. I want you to be close to me, but I'm only going to let you see my back. That's really a representation of saying that God says, you know, because I am holy and perfect, And you're on the earth, you're mortal, and you have imperfection, you have sin upon you. I actually can't be close to you. And the only way I get close to you is by the blood of Jesus. Jesus covers over us, so that we're perfect. But God says, I'm not going to let you see me. I'll pass by you, but you can see behind me. You can see the back of me because you can see where I've come from. You can see what I've done. You can see the things that I've been faithful in. God says, you can see all those things. But you can't see my face because you can't get that close to me. And Moses is asking questions. God, I have questions. And God is responding to Moses saying, look at what I've done. Look at where I've come from. Look at the things I do in life. And I just think, oh, isn't that a powerful thought? As God protects Moses from seeing his face. So again, I have those kind of questions personally. Is that, you know, life is going well. Honestly, my mother-in-law was here this past week, Karen. My grandchildren. And it was a great time. So that's wonderful. But there's also things going on in my life personally, and I'm sure you could probably relate to this, that there's things that aren't going super well. There's areas of my life that I'm like, oh, that's actually challenging to think about. So in those areas, we have questions for God. God, why did you allow that to happen? Why are you allowing this to happen? The early church asked those kind of questions. Moses asked those kind of questions. All through Scripture, we see people asking God, God, why? And, you know, we're in a time of Thanksgiving. It's a time to be thankful. And I know that there's many stories that we have to be thankful for. And they're encouraging stories. But we also got to be realistic, that there are some challenging ones. And what do we do? How do we face those ones? We don't just kind of like put it under the rug and forget about it. How do we face those things and face them well with Jesus, with Christ, with peace, with an understanding? So here's a great story in the Old Testament. Since we're spending so much time in Genesis, if you remember a couple months ago, we spent a lot of time in Acts, and maybe last month we spent a lot of time in the book of 1 Samuel, but recently we're spending a lot of time in Genesis. So let's look at a story here in Genesis that is a bit confusing for one person, and let's see what God does through it. So in Genesis chapter 16, verse 1 and 3, we jump into a story. It says, now Sarah, Abram's wife, had borne him no children, but she had an Egyptian maidservant named Hagar. So she said to Abram, the Lord has kept me from having kids. I can't have babies. So sleep with my maidservant. Perhaps I can build a family through her. Abram agreed to what Sarah said. So after Abram had been living in Canaan for 10 years, Sarah took her Egyptian maidservant, Hagar, and gave her to her husband to be his wife. Now, when you read that story, I'm thinking, okay, so we know the story is usually about, Sarah and Abram, and God had promised them a child, and they were getting older, and they thought, oh, I don't know if this promise is going to come true. Why don't we look at our maidservant here? Maybe through her, that's what God really intended. We can fulfill the promises of God through this other option because we're tired of waiting. Isn't that hard to wait when God tells you something? You have to be patient and you have to wait. So they went ahead of God. And I want to focus on the story, though, on Hagar. Like, she was in the house. She was under the covering, the blessing. She was a wonderful maidservant, obviously, that they would just give her that opportunity to try and build their family through. Like, what did she do wrong to deserve this? Because we know we're going to read here in a moment that Sarah gets ticked off at her now because her husband obviously had a son through the maidservant, and she's like frustrated. She's jealous of her, and Hagar gets so, scared of everything, she runs away. Well, nowhere in Scripture do I read that Hagar messed up. Nowhere do I find in the story that Hagar, well, she deserved that. You know, she did something wrong. She was just living her life, just going through the motions. And all of a sudden, there she's given this opportunity. You would think, as the maidservant, you're thinking, whoa, what an opportunity. I get to bore, my master, a son. Wow, this is going to be wonderful. So things are going all rosy. And then all of a sudden, a curveball comes out, and, Abram's wife is now mad. Sarah's just mad at her and just, constantly putting her down. So she just takes off. She's sad. She's emotional. And so we find Hagar out from the covering of Abram, out from the covering of that family. She's now run away. We see in Genesis chapter 16, verse 13. She gave this name to the Lord who spoke to her. You are the God who sees me, for she said, I have now seen the one who sees me. She had run away. Honestly, she hadn't done anything wrong. But she had run away. She was out of the protection. She was not under the covering anymore. And where does God find her? He finds her in darkness, in distress. But does God just leave her there? Does God just say, well, I gave you every opportunity and you just ran away. Well, that's your problem. You deal with it. When you come back to the house or when you come back under the covering, I'll talk to you then. No, God pursues her. God knows her by name. God sees her, and she responds that way. I see the Lord that sees me in my distress. God sees you. God knows you. He knows you personally. He knows what you're going through. And even in that mistake there, in a sense that, Abram and Sarah made a poor decision. I've made poor decisions. And even in the poor decisions, watch what it says here. This is so good to know. In Genesis chapter 17, verse 20. And as for you, Ishmael, this is the son that we have all these concerns with. I have heard you. I will surely bless you. I will make you fruitful and will greatly increase his numbers. He will be the father of 12 rulers, and I will make him into a great nation. Out of a mistake, God is saying, I will bless you. I will take care of you. See, God still loves and blesses mistakes. God still sees you in all of your frustration and all of your unanswered questions, and he just loves you intimately. I don't know where you're at this morning, whether you're in your kitchen preparing that turkey dinner, or maybe you're downstairs just watching the video. But I really want to challenge you. Just take a moment here right now. The turkey's okay. It's in the oven. It's okay right now. Just leave it alone. And the pumpkin pie, you probably already made that, so you're good to go. Just take one moment here with me. If you're listening to this, that you have questions and concerns that you don't have answers to, I want you to know that God sees you in that. And God wants to come close to you, and he wants to speak to you intimately. So with whatever you're facing, I want you to commit it to God. Say, God, I have to have these answers answered, or these questions answered. And I just want you to trust God with it. We've seen it in Scripture so faithfully. You have stories that God's been so faithful. I want you to be patient in those times. But I would ask you to stand with me, as interesting as this is. You might already be standing in your kitchen. But if you're downstairs somewhere on your couch, I just want to ask you to stand up. I want to pray for you. I want to pray that God would set you free. So as we saw this story, we say whether we're close to God, like some of these people, like Moses was asking questions, the early church was asking questions, they were close to God, or like Hagar, she just had run away. You know, you have so many questions, you're running away from God. God, I can't even trust you anymore. Whoever you are, wherever you're at, I want to encourage you to stand. I want to pray for you. Just as God was so faithful in the cloud, he covered over you. And I look at these quilts in our church here, I just feel like, you know, God just wants to kind of be a blanket over you. He just wants to love on you. He wants to be close to you. You know, God always provided for them, you know, food, but he provided for them spiritual food. God wants to speak into your life. He wants to bless you. And we think about the drink, the water, you know, the drink of Jesus. Jesus is the rock. Jesus wants to be your rock. He wants to be your foundation. So if that's you, let me pray for you. God, I just pray in Jesus' name that everything the enemy has intended for evil and wickedness and destruction that's caused us maybe to run away or to be far from you, God, I pray that you would restore us back to you. God, I thank you that you're pursuing us in Jesus' name. God, I thank you that you haven't given up on us in Jesus' name. God, I thank you that, you know, we're not too far from you, that you're always close to us, and that we can see you in everything that you do. So God, we just ask your blessing over us. I ask you, Holy Spirit, to go and to minister to every person in Jesus' name. Thank you so much for joining with us. I really hope you have a wonderful time with your family over this Thanksgiving weekend, whether you found us on YouTube or Facebook or social media. We absolutely love you. We'll look forward to seeing you next time.